We'll open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I have written to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are spiritual cripples. We have difficulty walking. You see our limps. You see our falls. Father, we ask that you would help us to fix our eyes this morning on Jesus' walk. Help us to walk like He did. To walk in love. To walk in faith and hope and generosity. Father, we thank you for your Son and His perfect walk. And we pray that you would teach us to imitate Him, to think like Him, to walk like Him. Free us from distraction. Father, we pray that our minds would not be on Black Friday or turkey dinners or any of the other distractions that the week ahead has conspired to throw at us. And help us to listen to your word. And help us to think about your Son and his walk. Let us walk in the way that he walked. Follow in the footsteps of your Son, our Lord, Jesus the Messiah. It's in His name that we pray these things, begging you to hear and answer us. Amen. Well, last week, John presented us a moral test. How do you know that you know God? You know that you know Him based on whether you walk. Well, you know Him based on whether you keep His commandments. Whether you do what He says. Remember, we looked at George MacDonald. If today you have done one thing because he said, do it, or not done one thing because he said, do not do it, that's really what matters. And if you haven't done a single thing because Jesus said, do it, then it's pointless to talk about believing Him or loving Him, because you don't. Well, that was the test, and we saw last week then that We think of human relationships, getting to know somebody, as conversation plus proximity equals relationship. I'm near you physically. I talk to you. Therefore, that adds up to I know you. But we saw that John said for knowing God, the equation is different. It is not conversation plus proximity. It's conversation plus obedience. We talk to God in prayer, and then we do what He tells us, and that adds up to knowing God. Well, that was the test presented last week. This is how we know. We know Him. We keep His commandments. John presents another test this week. At the end of verse 5, he says, "By this we know we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk just as He walked." We could almost call this, the gate test or some other word for walking. What does your walk look like? How do you carry yourself through life? The one who says, "I know Christ," needs to walk like Jesus did. Imitation is how you know you're in Him. Abiding in Christ obligates you to walk like Christ. Now, at breakfast this morning, I mentioned that this was the theme of the sermon, which got a lot of excitement because somebody in our house just learned to walk this week. Last Sunday, Saskia was not walking, and today she is. But is that what John's focus is on? Jesus' physical ability to walk around? No, all of us share that with Him. The focus is not on the literal walking from place to place. The focus is on what we today call the lifestyle, the moral walking, or what we would call walking with God. How did Jesus do that? Well, John tells us the one that abides in Him needs to walk like Him. To be in Christ is the Bible's most frequent designation of a Christian. A Christian is not someone who's outside of Christ, someone who is a shoestring relative to Christ, somebody who is only loosely connected to Christ. A Christian is someone who is in Christ. And we've talked about this before in Ephesians and in other texts. What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, the Bible tells us that this begins, in one sense, in baptism. You are baptized into Christ. You are incorporated into Him, to use a Latin phrase, or spiritually united to Him, again, to put it in two Latin words. To be in Christ means a relationship so close that the Bible can only describe it with the most intense, closest family metaphors. That Jesus is our brother, that God is our Father, that the church is the bride of Christ. In other words, this is a relationship so close that it can only be described in terms of marriage, parenthood, or being a child. That's what it means to be in Christ. You are not just affiliated with Him. You have merged with Him in some important respect. What respect is that? Well, we call it a mystical union or a spiritual union. You are in Christ today if you're a Christian. You are spiritually united to Him. And if you are in Him, if you stay I abide in Christ, I remain there, I'm connected to Jesus the same way a branch is connected to the vine, which is the metaphor Jesus himself used in the Gospel of John. If you say that, if you make the claim, I am a Christian, which you all just did, right? Hymn 182, what did you say? My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me. What is that claim? That Jesus is your Savior. That Jesus loved you, that the things that he did that are described in that song are things he did for you. You all joined in the prayer. The prayers, multiple prayers already, where we addressed God as Father. Again, in what sense is God your Father? Well, he's only your Father if you've been adopted by him in Christ. So you do say this. You make the claim that John is talking about, that I abide in Jesus. You've already made that claim multiple times today. John says, you've obligated yourself, therefore, to follow through, to actually abide, to stay in Christ. So, what does it mean to abide? To abide means to remain in close relationship. The verb could certainly be used to describe living somewhere. Where's your abode? My abode is right here in Gillette. That's my home. Does that mean that? Well, what does that mean? That means that this is the place where I live. This is the place where I go if I have nothing else to do. This is my default position. I am home unless something takes me away from home. But if it does take me away, I always come back. To abide, then, is to remain in relationship. It's another word for knowing that John has used in the previous verses. To know Christ and to abide in Christ are the same thing. So you're in close relationship to him. And that's how you know that you're in him. You imitate him. You walk like he walked. So, how did Jesus walk? There are so many points that we can make here. John, of course, doesn't tell us in this epistle how Jesus walked. He already spent an entire gospel telling us how Jesus walked. But we can say at the outset, that one of the ways Jesus walked was in perfect communion with God. And what we read 2 weeks ago about the raising of Lazarus, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. That claim, you always hear me. That's Jesus' way of saying, I am in perfect communion with God. Everything I say, the Father hears. He always hears me. You ever said this to somebody in close relationship to you? I feel like you didn't hear me. All of us have had to say that. And some of us get told it on a regular basis. But what does Jesus say to the Father? Not, Father, I feel like you didn't hear me. In fact, he says, Father, I have never said that, and I will never say that. I know that you always hear me. Everything Jesus says, he knows. He is 100% convinced, and that knowledge is perfectly accurate, that the Father heard him and understood perfectly what he was trying to communicate. That's a pretty amazing promise. A pretty amazing statement. We've all said it in frustration. Did you not hear me? What did I just tell you. But Jesus and the Father have never said those words to each other. Father always listens. He always hears Jesus. Jesus is always in perfect communion with the Father. And John says, Christian, you need to walk like that. You need to be able to say, the Father always hears me. And then what's the flip side of that? I always hear the Father. That's walking like Jesus. To walk in communion with God. Where you don't come to the end of the day and say, I don't think I spoke to God one time today. And as for hearing from God, hearing anything from His Word, getting the impression that there's some moral lesson He's trying to teach me, well, you know, I feel like that might have happened back around July. But I can't think of anything more recent. John says, no, you need to walk like Jesus did. You need to walk in perfect communion with God. Now, if any of you come to me and say, Pastor, my parents or my kids live in another state. I don't see them much. And we just feel pretty distant. It's gotten to the point where we only talk on the phone a few times a year for about 10 minutes. We're distant. How can I fix this? Can I give you any solution that doesn't involve serious time investment? Is there any substitute for actually picking up the phone and talking for an extended period of time? Is there any substitute for actually making the effort to go visit? No. Of course there's not. We all understand that. They sell pills that will allegedly cause you to lose weight in 10 days. But nobody is gullible enough to buy pills that will improve your relationship with your family in 10 days. Doesn't work that way, right? And we all know it doesn't work that way. You can't have a close relationship with the Father without investing some serious time. You can't get to where Jesus was at saying, I know that you always hear me, without spending time with the Father. There's no substitute. There's no pill. There's no silver bullet. There's nothing for it but to walk in communion with God. And so we see Jesus praying all night long at various times. We see Him praying throughout the day, right? As He was being baptized, the Spirit fell on Him as He was praying, Luke tells us. We see Jesus praying throughout His life. And on the cross, His last words are a prayer, Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. To walk like Jesus means to be a person of prayer. One who walks in communion with God. Who speaks to God and hears from God. And this is not a requirement for the super Christian. John doesn't say, he who says he wants to be a Christian extraordinaire ought to walk just as he walked. No, anyone who says, I'm in Christ, is on the hook to walk this way. Anyone who says, my Savior's love to me, anyone who calls on God as Father, needs to walk like Jesus. And that means walking in communion with God. It also means, therefore, walking in obedience. Jesus walked in perfect obedience to the Father. What does Jesus say? Whatever I see the Father doing, that's what I do. I can do nothing of myself. How do we get there? Well, we won't walk in obedience until we care more about pleasing the Father than we do about our own pleasure. In other words, you can't become obedient without first having your desires altered. If your desire is to sin, then you will sin. You have to want to please God before you will please God. How do you get there? Well, meditate on Christ, the righteous one who is the advocate with the Father. Think about the truth of the forgiveness of sins that John has just proclaimed. John isn't saying, well, we all understand when we're in over our head. Right? The financial crisis of a decade ago, many people realized that their home had lost so much value that the amount they had paid onto their mortgage was, they still owed more money than the entire asking price of the home. That is, I bought this home for $300,000. I still owe $275,000. The home is only worth $210,000. What did people do in that situation? They walked away. I will never make up the difference. So what's the point? And that's how we often tend to feel about our sin. I'm so far behind, I've already blown it in so many ways. What's the point? I will never catch up again. But John tells us, no, that's not where you're at. You're pleasing to God. Jesus is the propitiation for your sin. All that past sin is gone. It's wiped out. You are pleasing to God. Stay pleasing to Him. Abide in Him by walking like He walked. When you understand the gospel, and only when you understand the gospel, can you have the motivation to walk like Jesus did. Jesus walked like He did because He knew that He was God's beloved Son. And that's how you and I can walk like we ought to. We have this identity that's already been stated in verse 1 of this chapter. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. If you are God's little child, then, and only then, do you have an identity from which you can say, I want to walk in perfect obedience to my Father. I'm more interested in pleasing God than I am in pleasing me. In fact, pleasing God pleases me. Another way of looking at this then is to say that Jesus walked in love. As Ephesians 5 says so clearly, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus walked in love, so what did that lead Him to do? That led Him to give. He loved, and so He gave Himself up for us. I told you before about the guy who tells his wife, I would die for you, or I love you, and she says, would you die for me? And he says, no, mine is an undying love. But so many of us would like to have an ungiving love. I love you. Oh, well, great. Would you give me an evening this week where we could get together? No. No, I wouldn't. Okay, well, I see that you really love spending time with me then. Oh, yeah, I do. I love you. You're my brother in Christ. Okay, well, can we get together next week? No. Right, to love is to give. And somebody who says, I love you, and who never gives, certainly of money, time, food, much less themselves, that person we have reason to doubt their love. But Jesus gives us no reason to doubt His love, right? My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me. And what did He do? He came unto His own salvation to bestow, and all the rest of it. Jesus took flesh and became one of us and lived and died and rose again to say, this is how much I love you. To love is to give. And that means that if you don't show generosity to your family, to your church, and to the poor, you aren't walking like Jesus. If I say to you, when's the last time you gave something? And you say, well, I think I sent my mom a card for Mother's Day. Right, what does that say about your generous heart? It's non-existent. Christ loved and gave, and to walk like Christ requires that we love and give. You don't have to give what you don't have. Jesus himself said that people who give lots of money are sometimes the ones whose hearts are furthest from God. The widow who gave one penny, she was known for her love. But she did give it because she walked in love like Jesus. Well, Jesus also walked in truth. He never spoke a lie. There was no guile, no deceit in his mouth. He never told people what they wanted to hear because that was easier. He never said, you know what, you don't care about the truth, so I will just lie to you to keep you happy. Jesus walked in truth. And he did so in his identity as God's beloved Son, as the Word of God that can't lie or err. And our call is to walk in truth too. Jesus walked in company with the people of God. In the Gospels we see him attending worship at his local synagogue. We see him constantly with who? The disciples. Yes, there are times when Jesus is talking to other people in the Gospels, but most of the time, who is he with? Christian people. The disciples. Would anyone reading your biography look up and say, wow, it's clear that this guy was constantly around church people? They should. Because that's how Jesus walked. He walked in company with the people of God. And that is how you and I are called to walk too. Not as Lone Ranger Christians and say, yeah, I see another Christian once or twice a month. No, Jesus was constantly with God's people. Jesus also walked through suffering. Right? Our creed summarizes his entire life with that word. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. And if you have chronic health problems, a broken family, relational difficulties, financial difficulties, you have the preconditions to walk like Jesus. He walked through suffering. And whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk the same way that he did. Finally, Jesus walked in patience with those who attacked, slandered, and wronged him. He said, blessed are you when people revile you and say all kinds of evil about you falsely. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but kept on entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. Do you show patience when you're attacked? Do you walk humbly or arrogantly fight back against anyone who tells you something nasty? True or not? How do you take rebuke? Jesus walked in patience. When they accused him of being an illegitimate child, when they accused him of having a demon, he calmly said, no, I don't have a demon. But he didn't shoot lightning at them. He didn't yell and scream and froth at the mouth or attack their parentage. Will you walk like Jesus today? You have His same identity as a son, a daughter of God. You're not underwater on your sin. You don't owe more than you can pay. Everything has been paid. You're accepted. You're loved by God. And so, says John, abide. Maintain relationship with Jesus. Walk like He did. Keep putting one foot in front of the other on the path to heaven. Walk like Jesus, and you will end up where He is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would help us to walk like Your Son. Help us to step forward in faith, in hope, in love, in company with Your people, through suffering, in patience when we're attacked. Father, we pray that You would teach us to walk in love, that You would help us to walk in communion with You and obedience to You that empowers all of these other kinds of walking. We pray that You would feed us to this end with Your supper to eternal life. We ask it in the name of Your Son and by the power and perfection of His walk. Amen.